nearly done. I'm just going to pray before I speak. Father God, we come now to gather around your word, the book of truth, the word that you have given us for us to dive deep into, to unpack and to see where and how you would have us go in our lives. So, Father God, give us ears to listen. Give us minds, to focus on you this morning. May I speak the words you would have me speak. In the precious name of Jesus, amen. Going to do a very quick, brief summary of last week's, and it will be brief. There are two kinds of joy. There's human joy and spiritual or supernatural joy. Human joy can be experienced by anyone, and it might look like celebration, new baby, new pay rise. All sorts of things bring us joy. Relationships. Maybe you experience joy when you have a family gathering. Achievement. You may have studied hard, graduated from something, and you feel human joy. Health and well-being. You may just look around and go, I feel really good. This place that I'm staying at on my holiday has the most amazing view, and I feel human joy. And lots of people have a sense of joy and satisfaction when they help other people. And that is why all over the world there are people in organisations helping other people. All of those things have one thing in common. It's temporary. This sense of joy and happiness is just linked to the moment. And it's tied to that circumstance which brings the joy. Supernatural or spiritual joy, on the other hand, is about being in an intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. If you don't have that kind of joy in your life, then let me ask you this very simple question. Are you connected to Jesus? See, Jesus said, I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. And I'm going to list them. The second one that's listed is joy. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against these things. We're going to look at that passage in a minute, so just ignore for right now. See, joy isn't just a human experienced on a very basic level. Joy is something, if we're connected to God, that is the work of the Holy Spirit within us. It's a fruit of our relationship with Him. It's something that is soul-stirring and it's tangible. And I gave a quote last week from one of my favourite authors, C.S. Lewis. He says, this idea of joy defies our modern understanding. This joy that comes from God is not a satisfied desire, but an unsatisfied desire, a deep longing for God, a hungry pursuit of God's heart that never ends. And it is more satisfying than any other earthly happiness. A deep longing for God. And I then finished off last time by saying, for some of us, we're not actually feeling that joy. Maybe because we're actually not in an intimate, loving relationship with Jesus. Or maybe it's because we've let sap suckers in. And this morning, I want to talk about some of the sap suckers that we can let into our lives that actually rob us of the joy that we can have when we're in relationship with Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is bearing fruit in our lives. So I'm going to begin with this passage that's screened up there, which was screened up there. Oh, it's here. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Listen to that line again. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Wow. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. And Jesus was speaking this just prior to him going to be crucified. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. The joy we can have when we're bearing fruit will overflow. Inexpressible joy. I'm going to talk briefly on vines before we get right into it. See, every healthy vine that produces fruit has to be pruned. So before we get even talking about the fruit and the sap-sucking little critters this morning, I want to briefly talk about pruning. In Hebrews 12, verse 5, we read, "And have you forgotten the encouraging words God spoke to you as his children? He said, 'My child, don't make light of the Lord's discipline and don't give up when he corrects you.'" See, God prunes us. God changes us. God cuts some things off and says, "No, I don't want you to do this. I want you to go this way. There's some parts, some things about you that need to be sorted." And that's part of our journey with God. And that's his transforming power. See, without pruning a grapevine, there's no proper fruit formation or harvest. And there's some rules that need to be followed in order to have magnificent grape bunches. Grapevines need to be pruned twice during the year. The end of winter after the stronger frost spells and in summer during fruit formation. God's pruning of us is sometimes seasonal. There'll be times when you really feel God trimming you away and going, you need to drop that. You need to stop that. I want to stretch you in this way. See, the summer pruning of a grapevine is the fruit-inducing pruning. It boils down to reducing the number of bunches down to 5 per stem and cutting each shoot that doesn't bear fruit back to the trunk. All the tiny, small bunches of grapes can be pinched off because their productivity will be weak. And I had a little look at what the basic pruning tips are. Remove the dead wood. Remove the stems that grow from the lower part of the vine trunk. Afterwards, focus on the shoots that have grown during the previous year. These will be the most fertile shoots and they will bear the grapes. If you cut the entire shoot off, you won't have any grapes. As years go by, you progressively remove all the old dead wood and replace it with new shoots. That is why our life with God is not stagnant. That is why we don't rest back and go, ah, I've arrived. Nuh-uh. It's like, Susie, you need to deal with this. You need to be stretched in this direction. And sometimes we don't want to. That's part of his pruning. And if we're well pruned, we will bear much fruit. But then, along come the mites. Did you know that in Australia there are bud mites, blister mites, rust mites, bunch mites, and 2 spotted mites? They're the main mites that attack grapevines in Australia. My goodness, how do we get any fruit with all of that? For us, through compromise, through misunderstanding of Scripture and God's plan for our lives, some of us have allowed sap suckers, little mites, to drain the joy of the life of Christ out of us. We have allowed them to bleed us dry, so our joy, our fruit, is depleted. What causes us to wither on the vine? The first sap sucker is unconfessed sin. In Psalm 66, verse 18, we read, "If I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened." Don't let sin rule your heart. Turn away from it. Change your way of thinking. Come to him and confess. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, we read, "If the skies are shut up and there is no rain because your people have sinned against you, and then they pray toward this temple and confess your name and turn from their sins, because you have punished them, then hear from heaven and forgive the sins of your servants, your people Israel. Teach them to do what is right and send rain on your land that you have given to your people as their special possession." See, sin cuts us off from God's blessing. But when we confess our sin, we open the way for him to begin blessing our lives again. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, you won't have joy. Instead of joy, you'll be experiencing stress and conflict. You know, you may be disobedient in what God's calling to you to do in any number of ways. It might be with your finances. It might be with a relationship you're in. It might be the fact that you continue to gossip or damage other people's characters. Whatever it is, don't let sin suck the life and joy of Christ out of you. That's the first little mite. That sucker, unconfessed sin. That sucker too, broken relationships. In Matthew 22, verse 39, we read, Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself." When you have broken relationships that you need to repair, restore, renew, then your joy is going to be robbed. We also read in Matthew 5, 23 to 24, and this one is from the Message version. "This is how I want you to conduct yourself in these matters. If you enter your place of worship and about to make an offering, you suddenly remember a grudge a friend has against you. Leave immediately, go to this friend and make things right. Then and only then, come back and work things out with God." Sap sucker two, broken relationships. Sap sucker three, a wounded ego or pride. I love this verse in Proverbs 29, verse 23. "Pride lands you flat on your face. Humility prepares you for honors." And Proverbs 6, 16 and 17. "Here are six things God hates, and one more that he loathes with a passion: eyes that are arrogant." That is a big sap sucker, pride. Sap sucker number four, unresolved guilt. In Psalm 32, verse 5, "Then I let it all out and I said, I'll make a clean breast of my failures to God. Suddenly the pressure was gone. My guilt dissolved and my sin disappeared." A lot of people are unable to accept themselves and to accept the forgiveness that God has given them. This week I had a colleague at school come up and see me, and she said, "Do you know how I invited Jesus into my life to be my Lord and Saviour some time ago?" I said, "Yes." She said, "I didn't get it. I just got it now. I could not understand God's grace, that he would love me as horrible as I am. And he would say, I welcome you into my family. I love you." She said, "It's taken me all this time for it to dawn on me." And she said, "You don't know what's happened on the inside. All of a sudden, I have such peace. Because I'm okay. And he said, I'm okay." You know, there's a lot of Christians who allow the might of unresolved guilt to suck out the joy. You may have all sorts of things going on in your life. You may have had a brush with the law. You may have had issues at home. Whatever it is, you may feel like you're not welcome in God's house, that people would not understand you if they knew all the secrets of your life. That's not the case. You are more than welcome in this house, but in God's family. David was the same way in the Old Testament. He had committed adultery. He felt enormous guilt over it. He wrestled with his guilt and he finally came to God in Psalm 51, verse 12, and he said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Sap sucker number 5. Unpleasant circumstances. In James 1, verses 2 to 4, we read this very unusual passage. "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing." See, there are times in our lives that are going to be tough. Life, whether you're walking with Jesus or not, is not always going to be an absolute idyllic existence. And if we don't understand that there are going to be tough times, then when they come, we allow them to rob us of that joy. Psalm 126 said, I'm just going to briefly read that whole psalm. "When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, 'What amazing things the Lord has done for them.' Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy." Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. See, sometimes in the tough times, we don't need to let that sap sucker of tough time remove our joy. We need to learn to sit with negative emotions. We want to escape them. We want to numb them. Or we want to run from them. But in John 16, verse 20, Jesus tells his disciples they will weep. But then he says, "Your sorrow will be turned to joy." He doesn't say that they'll have sadness they can ignore. He says they will be sad and they will weep. They will feel the fullness of their grief. And there are times when you will feel the fullness of your grief. But on the other side of this emotion, there will be joy. Psalm 30, verse 5 says, "Joy will come in the morning." We're not meant to run from our pain, but face it long enough to find the joy of God on the other side. And if we don't expect that that will happen, then that will suck the life, the joy right out of us. Psalm 30 says, "O Lord my God, I cried to you for help and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of death. Sing to the Lord, all you godly ones. Praise his holy name, for his anger lasts only a moment, but his favour lasts a lifetime. Weeping may last through the night, but joy comes with the morning. When I was prosperous, I said, 'Nothing can stop me now, Your favor, O Lord, made me as secure as a mountain. Then you turned away from me and I was shattered. I cried out to you, Lord. I begged the Lord for mercy, saying, what will you gain if I die, if I sink into the grave? Can my dust praise you? Can it tell of your faithfulness? Hear me, Lord. Have mercy on me. Help me, Lord. You have turned my mourning into joyful dancing. You have taken away my clothes of mourning and clothed me with joy, that I may sing praises to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks for you forever. And many of you have been in a place where you've been consumed by grief. Face your grief. Deal with your grief. It's important, very important that you do. But it doesn't need to rob you of your joy. That's deep down inside. And on the other side of the grief, there will be the joy. So the sapsuckers, let me just revise them. Sapsucker 1, unconfessed sin. Sapsucker 2, broken relationships. Sapsucker 3, a wounded ego, pride. Sapsucker 4, unresolved guilt. And sapsucker 5 that I've just dealt with, unpleasant circumstances. So what do they do in a vineyard where there's all those mites sucking away on the vine, potentially destroying the fruit? Well, they come along and they spray lime sulfur onto the leaves, and the lime sulfur is absorbed by the plant, and it kills the mite. So what do we do? How do we combat the sapsuckers? We don't have a little drenching machine outside the door where we get sprayed with lime sulfur. But this is what we do. When we're feeling like the joy is being sucked right out of us, and these so basic. Number one, read the word. You can't know what God's will is for you, what he wants for you to do, if you don't read the word. The Bible is our guidebook for life. So get it out, read it, and spend time in prayer. Not those snatched prayers like you're shopping at Coles or Woolies, racing around at 9:05 on a Thursday night, randomly throwing things in your trolley. Prayer where you stop. You come still before God. You praise him. You worship him. Then you be quiet and you listen. Yes, you can bring your requests, but I think we're so busy blabbing sometimes we forget to just wait on him and listen. So, number one, read the word and get into prayer. That will start destroying the sap-sucking mite that's trying to rob you of your joy. Secondly, get amongst Christian community. Get amongst others who will encourage you in your walk and understanding of God. Whether that be getting into church, getting into Connect, catching up with others that also believe what you believe. Sending each other encouraging messages during the week. Learning from one another and growing with one another. then the joy of the Lord will become your strength. See, we're not meant to be doing this in isolation. We are family. So link with each other. And the third little treatment for the mite, serve others. One of the biggest problems in our world is that it all becomes about us and our eyes go in. And if you're already feeling drained and blah, the more you look in, the worse you will feel. So start looking out. Start looking at who you can serve, who you can reach out to. And you'll find as you start to do that, that joy will resume. In Hebrews, we read, he endured the cross, scorned the shame because of the joy that was set before him. Do you want to know why the cross was an object of joy for Jesus? Here's why. Because he didn't do it for himself. He did it for us. He served us. That was the joy that was set before him. The fact that he knew he was making a way for us to be in relationship with our Heavenly Father. He went to the cross for us. This morning, I'm going to invite you to come in your own time and remember what he did. Take the bread, take the juice, remember his broken body and his blood shed. That joy that was set before him. And maybe you're sitting here thinking, well, actually, I don't know if I can do this morning. Because some of those sapsuckers are running rife in my life right now. Well, maybe some of us can pray for you. And then you can partake. Maybe you say, I actually don't even understand this supernatural spiritual joy because I don't know Jesus. I've never invited him into my life. Well, if that's you, I'd love to introduce you to him. So this morning we're going to have a couple of things going on. I'm going to have some people just having a pray, coming to Jesus and saying, I've got some relationships that I need to sort out. Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me for not accepting your grace. Or maybe you're thinking, I'm so proud. I need to deal with this. Whatever the sapsucker is, deal with it and then remember what he's done for you and allow that joy, that deep, deep tug that's pulling from the inside to rise up, that inexpressible joy to come over you. So do your business with God. There's communion here and there's communion down the back corner. Or maybe you say, I actually would like some prayer before I take communion. Then come up and be prayed for. And I'm going to invite all of you in this place because we're here in community to encourage each other. I'm not the chief prayer in the place. We're all capable of praying for each other. If someone comes forward and God gives you a nudge and says, go and pray for them, then get out of your seat and come and pray for that person. Okay? So it's time. He's got his secateurs out. He's doing some pruning, cutting off the bits that need to be gotten rid of so we can be incredibly fruitful. And those little mites, they need to be gotten rid of before they suck any more joy right out of us. So let's do some business with God. Father God, as your children, we come this morning. And Lord, we give you thanks for your word. We give you thanks for Christian community. We give you thanks for the fact that you call us to reach out to others. And Lord, this morning, as we think about some stuff that may be robbing our joy, Lord, that we have the courage to deal with it with you now. Lord, we want to be a people that are overflowing with the joy of the Lord. Father God, I thank you that Jesus was obedient, that he went through with that awful death on a cross to serve us, to make a way for us to become part of your family. We give you thanks for the blood shed and the body broken. Jesus, we love you. And we remember. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So you do your business with God. When and if you're ready, you help yourself to communion. And if you want prayer, come on up. Thank you.